Hey, welcome back to the Infest Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Darryl.
This is episode 340. The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. Wasn't that from 48 Hours?
It's been in a bunch of stuff, but yeah.
I mean, it's been in a bunch, but I think I remember from 48 Hours. Oh, I don't know which, remember which one.
Yeah, probably the one without Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, wait, no, that was Steak. Was that 48 Hours or Steak Out?
She was in Steak.
You know what? I don't care.
The point was, it was in a 48 hour movie. Let's just put it that way.
All right. So before we get started this week, I just needed to share with you that I am a trivia master.
We are not worthy.
My trivia team that we have a group of couples. We meet on Mondays and we play trivia. And then they did trivia here at the brewery on Wednesday. And it was 80s movies. And out of 36 possible points, I got 32.
And how much did your team get? How many points?
Well, they didn't contribute because they didn't have to. But the next closest
one-man
team...
One-man gang over here.
The next closest team had 28. And I was answering every question pretty much, except for the four I missed. I was done writing the answer down before she was done reading off the question. And then
that makes me.
That makes you what?
I was going to. That makes me curious to see which questions you missed.
It was one. It was I eat green berets for breakfast, which was commando. And for some reason, I thought it was Navy SEALs. And how many movies did John Waters direct, produce, write in the 80s? I thought it was 20. And so I went with the guess of 18, but it was 45. There was another one about numbers. And then I forget the last one, but I put Weird Science as the answer, but that wasn't right. Mm-hmm. So, the other one I missed is, it's not the misquoted lines. It's not "Hello, Clarice." It's "Good evening, Clarice." And, I got that one wrong. So, there was a question about who played Superman in the 80s, and fell, which Superman actor fell from a horse and was paralyzed. And I went up to the lady. I was like, if anyone puts Christopher Reeves with an S, you can't count it, because that's not his name.
No, it's not.
And she's like, what? I was like, well, George Reeves playing, and she's like, how do you know all this? And I have my Superman ring on. I'm like, so. So we won that. So we won $45 in bar gift cards this week. And we got a trophy from the Monday one. So yeah. Anyway, good times. How was your week? I haven't talked to you hardly at all.
I know. It's just been busy with work and entertainment stuff. I finally cracked open Elden Ring. I've played a whopping hour and a half of it. I've died five times already.
Yeah.
But yeah, not much too much going on. Just like I said, a busy week, and looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah. You will be proud of me. I've played 24 matches of FIFA 22.
24?
Yeah, 24 whole matches.
Now, is that against the computer, or that online?
That's against the computer, but then I also played 10 against Rob and Ricky, so 34 matches. So I actually have been playing the PS5 this week.
There we go.
Plus I saw Jurassic World Dominion last night, which we'll talk about next week,
most likely.
So anyway, yeah, it's been a busy week. I start my new job on Monday, so I've been making the most of my last of my 5 weeks off. First world problems. Anyway, you want to just hop right to it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, so Top Gun Maverick is the little box office that could. So it has had a minuscule drop. So from Friday to Saturday, so we went through the first week, right? So It dropped between Memorial Day and that Tuesday. It went down 53%, went from 33 to 15 million. Well, from Thursday, June 2nd to Friday, June 3rd, it went up 73% from 14 million to 25 million. And then on Saturday, it went up 44% or 0.44. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it went up 44% from 25 million to 36 million.
That is awesome.
And then it dropped on Sunday by 19% to 29 million. Monday had another big 57% drop, which is not unexpected, to 12. Went up on Tuesday for whatever reason to 13, and then dropped back down to 12 again. It's like, actually, Monday's was 12,402,196. Wednesday, 12,402,113.
Okay, that's crazy.
How crazy is that, right?
That's crazy.
But yeah, this is insane how well this movie is doing. Its domestic gross right now is $334 million plus. It's over half a billion. It's almost at $600 billion. Actually, let me refresh this. I'm on Box Office Mojo. So I mean, it is just killing it right now at the box office. Like it is just the word of mouth of this movie is amazing.
Yeah, I had a coworker ask me about it, who lives in Texas, yesterday when we were on the call, mm-hmm. and I was like, I could not stop talking about it. I said, this is like one of my favorite movies in the last few years. Yeah. It's
still on 47. It's actually in more theaters now than it was when it opened. And we're just talking domestically here. When it opened, it was in 47.35, and now it's in 47.51. It's insane. It is insane what this movie is doing. Like, I want to go see it on the IMAX because they shot it in 6K.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we should definitely try and do that at some point soon.
Yeah, this is one of those movies that I want, once it comes out, to buy. I'm going to be watching this. It's going to be like Infinity War. When Infinity War came out, I probably the first month that I bought, after I bought it, I watched it 6 or 7 times.
Yeah. I mean, I already pre-ordered.
Yeah. It's going to be that. And I'm almost positive. I'm going to go not just digital, but I'm going to get the hard version of this. I hope they do a steel bookcase or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I really want, please, hours and hours of behind the scenes, because just the 20 minutes or so I've seen behind the scenes of this movie on YouTube, it's just fascinating,
right?
And it's just a testament to how movies should be made, the love and care that you should have in a movie, the idea that this movie is here is you know, as the creator, I'm looking forward to entertaining you the best way I know how and putting all my energy in there. Mm-hmm. That's why movies like Top Gun, Maverick do what they do, because they're there for the reason we go to movies, to be entertained, not to be talked down to, not to be lectured, to be entertained. Mm-hmm. That's it. And we've talked about this for the last year and a half, 2 years, as far as your number one objective and when you're making a movie, mm-hmm. is entertaining.
Right.
That's it. And then, you know, all the other stuff does come along with it, but entertaining, if your focus is there, as far as what can we do to make this a great time for the viewer, telling a good story with good characters, and depending on the movie, great action or, you know, great drama.
Yeah.
That's all we want. That's what we go to the movies for. We don't need to go to the movies for a real world message. We want to go to the movies to be entertained. Right. That's it.
Absolutely. 100%. Like, I will say there's a few things about Jurassic World Dominion that like talk down a little bit, just like about like climate change and just like humans in general. But it's like, I mean, it's right in line. Like, everybody gets their moment to shine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I love Bryce Dallas Howard. She's great. She's awesome. Yeah. I still don't like Laura Dern. I didn't like Laura Dern before, you know, general SJW, but like, or general gender studies, I think is what they called her around the worst Jedi. But I didn't stutter. I didn't stutter. I knew what I said. Anyway, but yeah,
I said
no,
what I said.
I said it, and I stand by it. Anyway, yeah, no, I mean, just Top Gun Maverick is excellent. If you haven't seen it, go see it. We got a lot of positive feedback on our review for that as well. So that is good. Thanks, Matt, for sharing that on Instagram too. Anyway, yeah. All right, so we have a ton of trailers to talk about. Because it was kind of geekend or whatever it was going on with Netflix and a bunch of stuff this week. So we have trailers for Prey, Warrior Nun Season 2, A League of Their Own, which I'm going to tell you after watching that trailer, I think you and I have very different like expectations of this. Guillermo del Toro's anthology series Cabinet of Curiosity, and Black Adam, starring the Pebble. Anyway.
Gibraltar.
Jabroni?
That's actually pretty accurate too.
Anywho. All right. So the first up is Prey. They hunt to live, they live to hunt Prey, streaming August 5th, only on Hulu. I thought this was a show at first. But this takes place 300 years ago, set in the Comanche Nation. It's a story of a young woman, Naru, I think is how you say it, a fierce, highly skilled warrior. She's been raised in the shadow of some of the most legendary hunters who roam the Great Plains. So when danger threatens her camp, she sets out to protect her people. The prey she stalks and ultimately confronts turns out to be a highly evolved alien predator with a technologically advanced arsenal, resulting in a vicious, terrifying showdown between the two adversaries.
So this stars Amber Midthunder, which I was trying to find out. Oh, she's in Roswell and Hell or High Water, which, by the way, if you haven't seen that.
That's Chris Pine's best movie, hands down.
That movie was amazing. Oh, she was in Legion, too. Hmm.
But, oh, yeah, she was. That's right.
And she was in The Ice Road, which, oh, my God, I can't believe we wasted, like, 90 minutes watching that movie.
Right. Thanks. Oh, thanks for that
movie. Was
thanks.
Awful.
I appreciate you.
But I got to say, I definitely have issues with some narrative choices that they're making here. But from an action standpoint, and just, like, how things are going to end up, because as cool as, you know, the idea of, I actually love the idea of Predator in, you know, back, you know, 300 years in the past, but let's be honest, you know, he would just wipe these people out. But with that being said, I'm very curious to see the ingenuity, if the writers do something that's, you know, ingenious, where I look and say, oh, that's actually pretty cool, because I like the tone. This felt like a Predator movie. I don't mind her in per se, but it does kind of fall in line with, you know, what we've seen over the last few years with how movies are, you know, trying, you know, doing the female focus thing.
Well, it says, which, like, the Comanches, like, were really good at, like, taking female prisoners, but there's not a lot that it says about actually having, like, female warriors. And, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I'm not going to say
do what you're going to do. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
Just make her a good character. That's all I care about. I don't care about that.
And
it's
that's
her. Like, she seems.
And that's what I was going to say.
She seems highly skilled in the trailer. But don't make her something at the detriment of someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is always my concern, because there are plenty of instances, and we'll talk about one instance in Warrior Nun, where the lead female characters or the female characters are done not at the expense of other characters, but they are badass because they are just badass. And that's what you call good writing, when you can do that without making someone else seem inferior.
Right.
That's been my concern about movies like this. And in general, the Predator franchise has not been the greatest over the last few movies. But I will say, just from what I saw, I am interested in this. I believe it is going to be on Hulu.
Yeah, August 5th.
So I am absolutely going to watch it. And hopefully I'm entertained, like we were talking about with Top Gun Maverick. Hopefully it's an entertaining vehicle where I don't have to have the come the F on too often. You know what I mean? So
right.
I do like this. I did like this trailer, and I won't say cautiously optimistic. I will say I have a just a flat line of expectations, not low expectations, not high. Just it's just going to give me what it gives me, and then I'll make a decision from there.
100%. I agree. I think I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm not a huge Predator franchise fan, but we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. All right. So you had the perfect segue into Warrior Nun, and then you kept talking. So here's my problem with Warrior Nun season two is Geeked Week is what's happening at Netflix right now. As it says here, coming late winter or whatever, like later this winter. It's like, why are you putting this out now?
And why is it so far away? Like, is everything in the can? I mean,
It's got to be
I think
done.
I
I
saw,
mean, yeah.
I think it was done in February or something like that, or
Yeah.
March maybe. But I know they have to do the post-production, but late winter?
Yeah. I
That's a,
don't know.
that, that was disappointing.
Okay, so one, the trailer looks great. Everyone's back who needs to come back. There's some badass like nun season two this winter. It just says this winter, so whatever.
Okay.
But my favorite part about this is this comment here at the top. I don't know if it's tough for everybody, it's tough for me. It says it's from 3 days ago. I swear I was the only one who was obsessed with this show. They obviously didn't listen to our podcast. It's so underrated. I'm so glad it's coming back. And this is, I'm sorry, this isn't all caps. It's so underrated. I'm so glad it's coming back. Three exclamation points. This show needs to get the recognition it deserves with four exclamation points in all caps. And so he's got like, or they, whatever, have 1 point, 1700 plus likes. And then 29 replies, and it's like, delete your comment, man. You're so wrong. Like, you are not the only one who's obsessed with this show. Get out of your bubble, get off of Twitter, and go touch grass.
Yes.
Like, honestly. But it's just like it's hilarious. But I mean, this is a one. We loved the first season of the
Oh,
show.
absolutely.
And
Yes.
it's different from the comic, which is good. I mean, we talked about like there was a trans character in the first season that you did not know was trans until like it was just kind of casually dropped in conversation, and she was an amazing character.
And again, this is a perfect example, and this is why I like the and I hope the writing team from season one is back, because how they did these things, how they did stuff like that, where it wasn't, put on a billboard. And with the, we were talking about the female characters, because again, Warrior Nun, Nun,
Right.
female character, or and like they just did such a great job of not only making each individual character stand out, but also writing them in a way, like I said just a few minutes ago, they were badass just because they were badass, not because it was an agenda. It was they just were badass, and it just
Right.
did a good job writing these characters and the way they interacted and just the different personalities.
Right.
And again, the last 6 months, I've been every few weeks, I would do a little search on the internet. Okay, what's going on with Warrior Nun season two?
Right.
And
I
coming
mean,
across
we've
that
talked
the
about
other
this for a
day,
while.
that
So.
was that, it was so refreshing to come across this the other day. I was like a little schoolgirl jumping up and down, like, Warrior Nun two trailer's out. And I do like what we see here. I like to see, the action. And again, it's one of those things where we talk about trailers. It
Right.
doesn't give away
It
too
gives
much. It
nothing
just,
away, which is great.
yeah, it just wets our whistle as far as what's going on, and or not what's going on, but just kind of gives a breakdown, a quick breakdown of what happened, and just a nice little treat for the eyes as far as. You have the main character, Ava. It looks like she is like really, stepping into that role as the warrior nun and her powers. She's, keeping, getting control of them, being able to use them at will. So, and there's a lot of personal relationships. It'll be interesting to see how they do that and what we get for the big bad. So I just can't wait for this. I really can't wait. It sucks that we have to wait till winter.
Right.
But this is one of those. This is probably one of the more underrated shows, just because, other than us, I haven't heard many people, because we both follow a lot of different people on social media as far as entertainment stuff, and I don't think I've heard anyone, like, when we watched it, I think I heard one person talk about it and review it, and that really liked it as well. But this is one of those shows. I really hope it keeps that same, just keeps, like I said, keeps the same writing team, and just keeps that same quality as season one, and just takes us a little bit further into the world of Warrior Nun. I just can't wait. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, I didn't see, like you said, I didn't see a lot of like reviews or anything like that about Warrior Nun when it came out. So, I mean, like, I agree with that comment. It's an underrated show, but again, it came out at a time on Groomerflix when they had a bunch of other things come out, and it was relatively undermarketed.
Yeah, and it was one of those that flew under the radar with me, because I did not know about the source material. It's so, and it's one of those where I just said, what is this? Let me check it out.
And it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. All right. So moving on to our next trailer. The wholly unnecessary Amazon Prime A League of Their Own TV series.
So, in fairness, when I told you about this trailer, I did not watch it. I hadn't watched it yet.
It is a near perfect movie. It is a near
Yes.
perfect movie. Even though it
Yes.
has Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell, who neither of which can act, it is a near perfect movie.
Yes. League of Their Own is amazing.
And
Fantastic.
here's where they lose me. A League of Their Own evokes the joyful spirit. They lost me right there. Spirit of Penny Marshall's beloved classic, while widening the lens. Now I threw up in my mouth a little bit. To tell the story of an entire generation who dreamed of playing professional baseball, the show takes a deeper look at race and sexuality, and I threw up all over the floor. Following the journey of a whole new ensemble of characters as they carve their own path towards the field, both in the league and outside of it. And I ate a bullet.
I, after watching that trailer, have zero interest in watching
Yeah,
it.
so you were like,
Zero.
I almost texted you, did you watch this? Did you watch this trailer? Because
Yeah.
it is, I mean, right now it's got 1.2 1200 upvotes and 3400 downvotes
Yeah.
on the old tubes of the Ubes there.
Yeah,
Actually, hold on. Wait, wait,
I
wait, hold
lost
on. Wait,
count
wait.
now.
While we're at it, hold on. Let me check. Because I didn't even bother
Refresh.
looking. No. So like, Prey has 10,000 upvotes and 4,100 downvotes, which, whatever. I mean, it's still positive, and I think it's positive enough. And Warrior Nun has 21,000 upvotes to 1,100 downvotes. So. Dude, like, you're not the only one obsessed with this show. Sorry, I'm just picking on
Yeah.
that poor. I'm picking on that poor bastard commenter. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I mean, I had just pulled it up, so I didn't need to refresh it. But this is arriving on August 12th. I'm definitely going to be skipping this.
What do the kids say? Hard pass.
I'm such a fan of the original film, but I'm really looking forward to this. I hope that it encourages people to watch the film, if only for the no, there's no crying in baseball. Just tell people to watch the movie. Like, skip this bullshit. We'll give it a shot. I'm so glad it's not a reboot, but rather different stories. Not super optimistic though, since the movie sets such an incredibly high bar. I've actually met an original Rockford Peach and have an autographed baseball. The movie was an inspiration for many women. I can only hope the series will be the same for this generation. Barf. To me, the original is always going to be better. Nothing can beat the original, to be honest.
I can say right now, this isn't going to be better. This isn't going to, just by looking at what we saw in the trailer, combined with the summary of what, the idea behind this, it's, won't say it's DOA just because it could be entertaining. It's going to be entertaining for some folks, but again, the fact that this is the primary objective is not to entertain, based on what they said, based on that blurb, that's not their primary objective. It's to entertain. That's
No.
not it. So, and again, just because you're telling a pseudo, the original, for example, you're telling, a non-fictional story in the sense of stuff that really happened, with different, with mostly fictional characters, doesn't mean your number one priority shouldn't be to entertain. It still should be to entertain. It's just you need to find other ways to entertain if you're telling a true
Right.
story.
Right. So it's yeah, I don't I'm I just I'm I was almost certain you didn't watch this trailer when you sent it to me.
I had not. I had, if I had, I would have probably, and then I just kind of wanted to forget about what I saw.
Right. And it was too late. It was already in the show notes. So we were going to talk about it. This one, like I said, it's August 12th. If you want to watch it, great. We're not going to review it. We're not going to talk about
No,
it any more than this. If you really want to like watch a really good A League of Their Own, go watch the movie. Geena Davis is fucking amazing. Lori Petty is amazing. It's just really good. It's just a really good movie. Never mind, Tom Hanks is in it and he's awesome in pretty much everything at that time. But yeah. All right, let's move on to our second to last, our penultimate trailer.
there's your word.
Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. This is. It says here, the maestro of horror, Guillermo del Toro, presents eight blood-curdling tales of horror. This anthology of sinister stories is told by some of today's most revered horror creators, including the directors of The Babadook, Splice, Mandy, Twilight, and many, many more. I did not realize Twilight was a revered horror creator, the person who directed Twilight. I will tell you. Okay, so this one has 15,000 upvotes to 51 downvotes. Oh, now 52. I am not a Guillermo del Toro like super fan. You're gonna have to watch this and tell me this is great. This is
Yeah.
amazing. This
So,
is
yeah.
the greatest thing you could watch right at this moment.
Okay. So the first thing that got me, because again, this is the definition of a teaser trailer. It gives us nothing. But what interested me is when they were throwing the names around. You have Andrew Lincoln, F. Murray Abraham, Ben Barnes, Crispin Glover, Tim Blake Nelson, Rupert Grint, Sophia Boutillot. So that's what got me. And I am I'm a pretty decent fan of Del Toro. I love his Hellboy movies. Troll Hunters, I thought was, especially the first season, was great. I never saw Nightmare Alley. I don't know if have you seen that yet?
No. So
I mean, that's
I'm not a
incomplete.
big Del Toro fan. Like I'm more, I'm in the rare camp that thinks Blade 2 is just kind of
Oh, I really like Blade 2.
well, so
But
here's what,
Pacific Rim, he did the screenplay of that.
right, and I like Pacific Rim, but I'm saying I'm not like huge. But here's what has me wanting to watch this. Eric Andre, Ben
Yeah, Eric
Barnes,
Andre too. Yeah.
Crispin Glover, Andrew Lincoln, Peter Weller, right there. Oh,
Yeah, and that's what
Kate Minucci. So she's great. So.
I was saying, like when I saw the all these names in there, because again, anthology series can be very hit and miss. So even though it kept, I'm a bigger fan obviously of Del Toro, that wasn't enough to get me. What I, the fact that it's horror, the fact that it's anthology, the fact that you have all these names in there, like, you know what? I definitely will give this a try. I will absolutely watch this
Sure.
and just see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, sure. I'll probably, well, I mean, I don't have Groomer Flicks, so I can't watch it. But
That's what I was going to say. I didn't even remember where it was going to be on.
yeah, so and it doesn't say there's no date. It just wants me to subscribe. So, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm not the biggest fan of horror either, so there's
Right.
that. But we'll go ahead and we'll see if you love it. I'll check it out. I'll steal
Yeah. Well,
your
let's be
account.
honest. Horror is one of those, I think one of the genres that is so easily just screwed up. Just over the years where I've seen horror movies from, and it's just in a defter, it's like in a defter hand.
You mean he's a
'Cause there's a
pretty
lot of good
deft
content.
hand. I will give him that. He's got a great look to the things that he does. He did the fish fucking movie that won the Oscar.
Oh, I was about to say fish out of water.
The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water, yeah.
Yeah,
Which I thought was actually good. I thought it was overrated, but
it definitely was
I
not the
liked it.
best picture, and
No,
it was
it was not.
aquamarine porn, but anyway. All right, let's move on to this last one because I've got thoughts on this one. All right, we're talking about Black Adam. So the first trailer dropped for Black Adam. It comes out on October 21st in theaters all across North America. I hate The Rock. I hate him so much. Honestly, I wish they would have just made this Hawkeye. Or Hawkeye, Hawkman, and just give us an Aldous Hodge movie. Let's let Aldous Hodge put a superhero movie on his shoulders and see what he can do.
Which I actually really like Aldous Hodge.
I do too, and I really like the way his Hawkman looks. That's probably my favorite
Yeah.
part. Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate seems all right. Not super sure how I feel about it, but the fact that this is directed by the same person who did the Jungle Cruise leaves me with very little hope of it being interesting, let alone good. And the fact that Black Adam is a villain, very bad man, very horrible person. He was so bad they shot him across the universe and it took him 5,000 years to get back to Earth. That's how bad he is. And they're going to turn him into this weird little super killer anti-hero bullshit. And yeah. Hard pass.
Okay, so I never saw Jungle Cruise, but this person directed Orphan, Nonstop, Run All Night, The Shallows, which didn't you tell me The Shallows wasn't terrible?
I mean, The
That's a
Shallows is
Blake
great
Lively
because
one.
it's Blake Lively in a bathing suit for 2 hours. But
So unknown. Wow.
Orphan, the twist in Orphan is great, right? At the end, when you find out that, what she really is, it's crazy and creepy. What was the other ones you said? Oh, Run
Well,
All
a lot
Night.
of
Run All
Liam
Night's actually
Neeson.
pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Nonstop, unknown.
Yeah, but
So
the jungle. But the problem is all of those movies had people who could actually act. They didn't have just a big steroid dude up there being a big steroid dude like he is in every movie, and he was in the Squared Circle all around the world.
yeah. Well, see, I will thoroughly, well, not thoroughly, because there are a good percentage of his movies he is exactly that. However, there have been examples where I've actually really liked him from an acting
Sure, the
standpoint.
Tooth Fairy. That's it.
This one is, I don't know. I like what I see. I like the action that I see. I don't know about necessarily how they're going to do the character of Black Adam. And again, this is where I differ from you in the sense of, one, you're absolutely right of who Black Adam is. I don't mind if they make him an anti-hero. However, and this is the big however, and this is where I think they might fail. He is not altruistic. You can make somebody an anti-hero and not a villain, even if they are selfish and narcissistic. You can still do that. As long as he sees something as, okay, well, yes, I am helping other people, but that's just, for their benefit. It's not
Yeah,
for their benefit that
means
I'm
to
doing
his
it. It's
own
more,
end, right? Is what
yes,
it needs to
exactly.
be.
As long as they hammer that home, and that's fine by me. I just don't know. I just don't think they're going to do that,
No.
honestly. I think I think it's the anti-hero you're talking about. And I think that's where they're going to go. It's going to be more of the guy you can root for. Well,
yeah. Oh, no, because Adam Smasher. I forgot Vader, about Adam Smasher in this.
Yeah. I love that name, though.
Well, I mean, he's an original JLA-er and everything. So,
yeah.
It doesn't say when this, like, takes place in, like, Earth's timeline. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's just,
I like wasn't what interested I saw.
When they cast him. Oh, it's current day because there's like F-18s or whatever those are, F-22s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I wasn't interested in this when they cast him. And I'm interested in even less seeing the direction that they're going with it.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that I was always, I didn't mind The Rock being cast as here. I'm just concerned with what I just told you.
Sure.
In the sense of the, I won't say neutering per se, but making a vanilla flavored rendition of this character, which I Black Adam is not one of my favorite characters. I'm not going to even sit here and tell you that. I've read a little bit of him in there. However, I still think it's important that you, not that you don't change anything, it's the fact that you just, when you're creating this character for the big screen, you understand the character, you know, which we've seen with the MCU, they have, especially the last few years, have not even tried to understand characters. Star Wars has done the same thing with...
DC has done the same thing. They don't understand Batman, done, and we keep getting these Batman-adjacent movies.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, well, I guess this is in another, you know, Elseworld or something like that. Yeah,
this is a Bat-adjacent movie.
Yeah. Well, hell, even the comic book writers don't nowadays.
Let's not even... But, let's just gloss over that completely or else we're going on a rant that neither one of us really want to listen to me go on. So,
yeah, I will go see Black Adam and I will let you know how it is. I do share the concern. Because I'm a fan of The Rock. I used to be a fan of The Rock. I don't despise him like you do.
Dude is vile. There's nothing genuine about that guy.
Yeah. But again, the movie, I've always been entertained by his movies. This one, again, it goes back to, and I do want to see I hope Aldis Hodge is in this a lot because I do like him. As an actor, since I saw him in season 2 of Supernatural.
Since Friday Night Lights.
No, Supernatural. Was that first? He came. That was 2005. When was Friday Night Lights?
That was like the early 2000s, I'm pretty sure.
But remember, I didn't watch Friday Night Lights live.
No, but I did.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I remember him from Supernatural. I think this is going to be another DC type movie in the sense of they had a good thing they could have done, but just it deft their hands, it would have been better.
Oh, it was 2006 to 2011. So, but I didn't watch Supernatural live. So,
right. So,
anyway, but
and
no,
then I loved him in Leverage.
He was great in what?
Leverage.
Oh, I didn't watch that, but I always wanted to.
So. Yeah.
But no, I mean, he was great. Like, he was in the first season of Friday Night Lights and, he was a great foil to everyone in that show.
Yeah. He was a good supporting character in the Invisible Man movie.
He was the great in that. Ray Voodoo Tatum. That was the character's name. I knew it was something. No, he was great in The Invisible. Well, The Invisible Man is a great movie with Elizabeth Moss, which we talked about that when it first. That was like one of those pandemic movies that we both bought, we could watch it. And oh man, that's a good one. Actually, I rewatched that like a month ago.
Wow, that's a really good movie.
Just like
I haven't watched it. I watched it like a year ago, I think. Yeah. Maybe like 6-8 months ago. What's that?
Scars just dropped Tom McDonald's new song. Notification. Sorry. All right. I don't know. I'm not super amped on this. So we'll see. Anyway, let's move on to something that we really want to talk about. Superman and Lois. All right. So let's just, I want to do the rankings up front.
Okay.
We gotta be quick. We've only got 20 minutes to talk about this thing and the boys.
Okay.
So out of 5 long way rounds in a super suit, what do you give this episode?
I give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. I went a little lower than you this time with a 3.5 out of 5.
That's fair.
Not that I didn't dislike it. I mean, I didn't give it a 2.
Oh no.
But, I mean, this was a great, like what I told you when we talked about this, like if they decided that they wanted to make Natalie a spinoff character and call her like Steel,
Steel Heart.
No.
Oh, you can't. Brandon Sanderson has a book called Steel Heart.
Well, so you can't because of the Thundercats, the Silverhawks.
Yeah.
Steel Heart and Iron Will.
That too.
So Brandon Sanderson can go touch grass and kick rocks.
All right. I am out of here.
Anyway, I tried to listen to one of the Brandon Sanderson books and I just couldn't do it. It was the guy reading it. It was bad. The guy doing them, book, but the guy doing the voice. Anyway. So we get a bunch of flashbacks to 5 years prior in this episode, with Allie and Lucy meeting and then Allie grooming Lucy to be a cultist. Lucy definitely needs to die in this show.
There is, and we said this when she drugged her dad and took, you know, his access. How are you going to redeem this character? And then she even goes one step further in this one, and you know, just because she's crying and sorry about it.
By the way, spoilers.
Now, yes, and Jenna Dewan, once again, they had to do some post audio for her.
Yeah.
And you could tell the difference between when they do that. You can absolutely tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the character is, I thought I didn't like, what was her name?
Chrissy. Who also needs to die.
Yeah. Lucy's actually worse.
Yeah. And Sam needs to die this season too. And I like Sam, but Sam needs to go. Because you can't have any heroes in DC who aren't orphans.
That's actually, yeah. Well, that is true.
So no John L. in this episode. No Tal Rowe. We get Lana Rowe from the Inverse. And Superman's human?
Yeah, I don't know. And we got 2 examples of Gen. What are they? Gen Zers? Or I don't even know what generation they are. The younglings,
yeah.
Not knowing anything.
Right.
Like when Lana says, yeah, I got my very own Atlantis Morissette.
Right.
And Tara's like, who's that?
Right. Yeah.
And then one of my favorite, when Clark was like, yeah, we'll go on my favorite. I used to call this the Kessel Run.
Yeah.
And then Jordan lost a lot of points when he didn't know.
You would think Jordan would have known Star Wars.
Yeah.
So the shut-in that he was. But,
right.
All right. So speaking of Jordan, that was a great scene, the flying. And then when they came back to the farm and they landed and he crashed.
Clark said, that's getting better.
Yeah, it's getting better. But no, that was good. I liked Jonathan's little like just resentment when they took off to go train. I thought that was really good.
I can't help but wonder, and I brought this up before, because just Jonathan's in a bad place where he just feels like so alienated from everything and everyone, where if there's a chance to, if he thinks like, hey, if I had powers and he goes to merge with his other self or something along those lines, I just think they're setting this up for Jordan to, or Jonathan to do something that is is going to have ramifications through next year.
He's
going
to merge with Superboy.
I think we talked about this a few episodes ago when that idea first came out. But I wouldn't be surprised.
He's intentionally going to go and merge with him after Sam dies.
You like your character deaths.
And then it's cool because I don't know. I just like it when characters die. Colin, you let me down.
If it serves a good purpose and it's not done just for shock value, I don't mind it, even if it's a character I like.
No, I just feel like there's a couple characters, and like the cast is getting too big, right? There's just some characters who have run their course. Lucy is one of them. Chrissy ran her course last year, at the beginning of the season, honestly, but really last year when she was like complaining about the DOD. I kind of like the idea of Lois and Clark running the Smallville Gazette together and like, you know, Chrissy had died. So it was all in her name. Like, we're doing this for her, like to at least make something of such a horrible character. But yeah, I don't know. I think Sam's story is coming to an end as well. And Sam can die like heroically, like, you know, protecting mm-hmm. Lois, or more importantly, protecting Jonathan, which I think.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan merges, right? And then has to live with the ramifications of knowing the person he was closest to when the series started died because of him. And then when he breaks bad and then gets redeemed in season 3. But what do I know?
I could see
I'm not a professional.
Yeah, well, two things. One, I think there's still room where you can use Lane, General Lane, mm-hmm. and, well, former General Lane. But also, I think that's a compelling way, which you just fleshed out. So I think you're right about Chrissy, that she needs to go in some way, shape, or form. But first of all, Lucy has to just... Again, even if she has to say, even if they say, hey, we might have stuff for her later down the road, just say, hey, write her off. I don't care how. I would rather her, you know, her character bite the bullet. But to get her off the screen.
Right.
Because I thought it was going to be bringing her on. I saw there was potential. However, the way things have gone from an acting perspective and writing a character perspective, honestly, this story of season 2 could have done without her.
Right.
And she just, again, and that what you're saying, she just needs to go because...
Well, she's also a reminder of
unnecessary drama.
Horrible Supergirl show.
What Supergirl show?
I don't know.
I agree with that. She needs to go. Chrissy needs to go.
Yeah. You know, I liked Lois's like big sister vibe in this, you know, and like, I don't know. I just feel like I feel like Chrissy has to go just because of the story, but I feel like Lucy has to go because like Lois was constantly like, I love you. I've always loved you. I've always looked out for you. And you know,
it's judgment. No, you haven't.
Yeah. Right. It's like, okay, you're good. We're good. We've had enough of you. Go away.
And again, this is where I talk about where I've said, well, you know, that happens in real life.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about a show, and just because something happens in real life, you can't necessarily, you know, take it and then photocopy it verbatim to happen on the screen, because a lot of times it's boring and it's annoying.
Right.
And that's what it doesn't matter if, you know, stuff like that happened. You have to understand that you're not doing... Realism is not your number one objective in here. If you're mm-hmm. talking about characters and how they react, it's realism, tinged realism with, is this going to be entertaining or is this going to just make the audience tune out?
Yeah.
For that character. Right. And that's what it does with Lucy. Listening to that constant, well, no, you didn't. You were always judging me. It grates on your nerves. And this was an example where they didn't necessarily pull back with the character. They've done such a good job over these first two seasons of not going full drama, as I'll say,
right,
as a lot of shows go, Like Grey's Anatomy, for example, go full drama.
Yeah. So
This Is Us, as great as that is, goes full drama.
Oh, I stopped watching that
So.
show. Actually, I stopped watching all of those shows. Well, I never started Grey's Anatomy. So here's the other thing is Christy Korzick is the writer of this episode. And about what in episode 11, they dumped the writing teams and went with single writers. So 11 was Andrew Wong. Last week was Rinna, or whatever, 2 weeks. Yeah, last week was Rinna Mamoun, and now Christy Korzick, and then next week is Michael Narducci. And here's the thing, is Christy has been involved in writing some of the episodes that we like the best, right? Like she wrote Failsafe, or she was part of the writing team of Failsafe, but she wrote Holding the Wrench, where, you know, John,
Oh,
like
yeah.
in the first season, where we first learn about where Sam first told Clark about, you know, 7734. And that was the one where Lois told John about the miscarriage and everything like that when she's going through like the therapy session and all of that, which is an amazing episode. It is an amazing episode. That was episode 8 of season 1, if you guys don't know. But I mean, she has been involved with writing some of the better episodes. And like this week, like the whole thing with Natalie taking forever. Like it's like, did you fly to In-N-Out Burger? Like, did you go to California from Kansas? And then the not taking him up to the sun, like higher to the sun, because it was kind of a cloudy day, and it's like, let's get him up, go.
Yeah, it's funny you said that because I immediately during that scene, both of those things crossed my mind.
Yeah, especially when he said max power. I thought
Yeah.
that's what they were doing. It's like, whoa, hold on. Why are you taking him to the DOD?
Yeah,
So I get
I
taking
thought
Sam
that
there,
was
but.
right. I just thought that was missed opportunities and just a little sloppy, particularly the fact that it took her forever to get down there.
Right. So,
Look, if you're,
oh,
I
no,
would
go
say
ahead.
if you're trying to get it to the point where Clark is losing his power like that, make Steele and Natalie get there later than they did.
Right.
Instead of getting there and then not really doing anything.
Like, let that hammer connect with Allie instead of what happened to make it stop.
Right.
And, you know, this is all just second guessing, but like, here's the thing, is she wrote an amazing scene between Jordan and Lana.
Oh, though that was tough to
Right?
watch.
That was hard. And, you know, when he was like, well, I'm going to tell her. And she's like, you absolutely are not going to tell her because you're going to put her in danger. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I really like that, and I love the dad Clark again when Jordan flew. That
Oh
was
yeah.
great.
Oh yeah. When
There, I mean,
he,
there.
yeah. There were two really great dad scenes in this. There was that, and
And
then
the.
when John is trying to tear the suit apart, and he's like,
Yeah.
what? Like you just go through all the broken like blades and saws and everything. He's like, what? What did you do? You knew I wasn't going to be able to do this. She goes, you never asked. And like, you know, and then he was like super impressed with her. And he was like, okay, you can stay. You can fight. But it was great. I don't know. I just think that the Chrissy stuff takes away from the Chrissy stuff, her just attitude takes away from everything like about the show. Like, I get it. Like, they want her to be like that. That voice, that like normal person that everybody sees, but she's just so cynical and like she bought into what Allie was selling,
Yeah, really quickly,
and
very
now
quickly
she's all
too.
mad about it, and like she's like, well, I didn't, and it's like, look, you're not low. Like, we have Lois Lane. You don't have to give us the dollar store version or the homeless woman's version of Lois Lane. We already have her. Let her be Lois Lane. Like, the way Chrissy acts, it should be like a 16-year-old character, not a grown-ass adult who went to journalism school. Anyway. Yeah. So, it was, I mean, it's a good episode. I mean, like, I'm really sad that the season's ending, but I'm really happy there's a season 3. So, hey. All right, we've got just a few minutes here. to talk about three episodes of The Boys. All right, so we'll just do for the first three episodes out of 10 torn peeps in quotes. what do you give the first three episodes?
I'd give it a 7. I think it's a good start.
Really?
I told you the issue I've had with The Boys, and I think the first three episodes, and when I say issue, it's almost a nitpick, but I'm a guy that, you know, I like violence in my shows. There's a point where it's like, okay, dude, this is just for shock value. And there's a few scenes like that in here. I love Carl Urban, but man, Butcher continues to become more of an unlikable character with some of the stuff he does and says, even though there are moments in these first three episodes that also see you also see the pain of that he can't let go of. I mean, I understand that. I really love, I did like Mother's Milk, Liza Alonso, mm-hmm. and some of right. the stuff he's going through as well. And
read the comic at all, did you?
No, I did. I read the first probably like 15 or 20 episodes, or 20 issues. Episodes, 15 or 20 issues.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Butcher gets worse.
Yeah, and that this is where, yeah, that happens in a comic. I would think that I think that is a bad idea to go that far. If he gets worse, to go that far in the books, in the show, than what they went in the books.
So here's the biggest difference words are hard. They're so hard to know.
How dare you?
Anyway, the big difference between Butcher in the book and the comics, right, is there's no Ryan in the comics, and Butcher has powers. Not, by the way, spoilers. Not temporary powers. He has super strength. They all have super strength. And Huey eventually gets super strength after what Black Noir does to him at Herogasm. So,
yes, I don't think they're going to do that in this show.
You know, although, what? Considering what I feel like they should, especially to Jack Quaid. But, like, I don't want that to happen to him in real life. But
no, just
I kind of feel like it's a thing that he should have to deal with anyway. So as of recording, the first four episodes are out. Unfortunately, they were really late getting episode four up, so we weren't able to watch it. So we are talking about this, but apparently the sixth episode is called Herogasm. So
really? Okay. Yeah. So they are doing this. Okay.
So, well, all right. Just cause it's called Herogasm doesn't mean they're doing Herogasm.
And after episode one. After episode one, I'm morbidly curious to see.
Oh, I do not want to watch Herogasm. Then the person who's writing the episode, Jessica Chow, okay. Was a writer on Woo Assassins. She has one written by. She was a staff writer for 10 episodes. She wrote Texting with Gosling, a TV miniseries. She was a co-writer for 6 episodes, written by for 4 back in 2014. Something called No Tomorrow, a TV show, where she wrote one episode, and then now The Boys.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I was just curious when I saw that. All right, so the first episode, we get the whole, they're launching the movie Dawn of the Seven. They've rewritten it to include Stormfront being a Nazi. Homelander is like having to go around and be like, I just fell in love with the wrong woman, while he's going and doing stuff.
Like the press junkets or the... Yeah.
No, but like he's so Stormfront survived all of that. And he's going back and like having relations with Herb Stump of a body, which was really not something that needed to be seen. The first episode ends up with their version of the Atom being horrible.
Termite.
Termite, thank you. Being awful and splitting a dude in half because he sneezes. I do like that the Secretary of Defense is Bobby Singer.
Yeah, I love that, so, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, we're introduced to V-24, which is Compound V, but for just 24 hours. We learn the truth about Victoria, who's really called Nadia in Red River in these first couple episodes. Tony, her friend Tony from growing up, tracks her down, who also has powers, and is killed in one of the most gruesome ways I've ever seen.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we learn that she's actually in cahoots with Vought.
Yeah, because it looks like she was adopted, mm-hmm. raised as a, after, like, during her teenage years by our boy,
mm-hmm.
Stanley Edgar.
Mm-hmm. Old Stan.
So, yeah, there are a lot of good threads that are started. Well, not just started, but, you know, continued from the first two seasons, and some good threads that are starting. We get a couple flashbacks of Soldier Boy, mm-hmm. and we see who the guy under the mask of Black Noir, and he gets the Snake Eyes treatment,
which is completely different from the comics as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So. Which that was one of those things where, again, sometimes changes are good. Other times I wonder why they do that.
Well,
particularly,
I'll tell you why I don't like it. Is because we're not going to get the end to a certain character that he deserves. That
correct
was a great reveal. And I understand why they don't have it that way. And actually, they could still have it that way. Like, because, you know, Black Noir has been around for a long time. It does not mean that that person is still alive. From the episode that we see. So, yeah. It was interesting seeing a young Mallory. Jensen Ackles is a treasure.
Oh, man. Maybe if you smile a little more.
So I guess he's showing up. Is he? I'm assuming he shows up at some point in episode 4. Like I said,
I think he does. Like, I mean, I haven't gotten that far in there into the episode where yeah. I've seen him or anything like that.
We got Sean Patrick Flannery showing up as Trigger Boy or whatever his name was.
Gunpowder,
thank you. Who was Soldier Boy's sidekick.
Bucky.
His Bucky, who killed a lot of people, good and bad.
Oh, man.
In Panama.
Yeah.
Like, for someone called Gunpowder, he sure did not know how to take his finger off the trigger.
Should have been trigger happy.
I know, right? So, missed mark.
A little too on the nose right there, but...
Right. Yeah, that was a cool scene. Those were some cool scenes with the two of them, with Butcher and Gunpowder. Stan is good. I think everything, like Annie Starlight is probably still my favorite character on the show.
She absolutely is.
I think Aaron Moriarty is killing it, but I also think like. Annie, both sides, Annie and Starlight, is the most developed character. You all right over there?
I'm back.
Okay.
Had a little technical issue.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties on Daryl's end. Did you hear what I said about Aaron Moriarty?
You thought she's the most developed character, and
right. And whereas I think, as far as an actor who's doing the best job, is Anthony Starr as Homelander.
Yes,
because
yes,
I love Homelander. Homelander is probably my favorite character on the show.
He is a character that,
and not because I'm rooting for him.
No, it's. He gets a reaction from me every time mm-hmm. he's on screen because I'm nervous. It's that tension that what is he going to do? And you can write a character like that, but you actually have to have the performer or the actor perform that and mm-hmm. create that type of menace, create that type of uncertainty. And he does that with flying colors. I love him. I love, I was about to say Homelight. I love Annie's character because, and this is one of the things I've had an issue from season one and The Boys in general, is that all these soups are assholes,
Oh, yeah.
like bar none. And there's just kind of a nihilistic view of people. And again, this comes, from the comics too, that, when people have powers, they, almost all of them are going to be bad, which is
Right.
not, that's not true. Absolutely, a good amount of people would be bad. So I've had that issue with this show from the start. This is not from season three. This is
Right.
from the start. This is even from the comic. And that's
There's
why I
no
like
good
her
heroes.
character.
There's
Yeah.
no good
And
heroes. And
I
that's what
just
makes
don't
Annie
like
different.
that type. Yes. And that's what one of the things I love about her. And the other thing that they do in this that, is a little bit on the nose is some of the political stuff. I will say it goes both ways in here.
Yeah, they're not
Call
like
out.
it hasn't been as woke as I thought it was going to be based on what Kripke was saying.
And it's not the idea of being woke necessarily for me. It's just how on the nose some of the commentary is about stuff going on. Sometimes it works, other times it's like, that's a little heavy-handed. You might want to pull back about 25% on, how you express this. I mean, that's a nitpick. It wasn't to the point of one being overly woke or being
Right.
so on the nose that it just took away from everything. It was just a couple scenes where I was just like, you could have pulled back a little bit and still made the joke funny or still
Right.
made this funny and relevant. So
I really am enjoying the deep this season. When he had to eat Kevin.
oh man, that was
Was rough. And kind of gross watching him eat that thing.
Very gross, yeah. Rest in peace, Kevin.
RIP. That was the name of the octopus, right, Kevin?
I think it was.
Yeah. So.
Or, yeah, it, I don't.
I
Now
don't
I'm
remember.
second
Yeah,
guessing that.
right. I do like the Deep's wife who is like the reform cultist with him, and she's just like, just do it. Do it. But yeah, I think it was interesting. I also thought it was interesting that Lori, what's her name from
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead is Crimson Countess.
What is her name? Lori.
Yeah, I don't
Have a
really
blank.
care, to be honest.
But yeah. I just like, I do like little, like when you're like, oh, that's this
yeah.
actor from that. That's pretty cool.
And then we had Charlize Theron playing Stormfront in the Dawn of the Seven movie. That was great too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I kept wondering. I was like, who are they going to have to play? Who's when she turns around, who's this going to be? So.
It was Charlize. And that was
So, I
great.
mean, overall, I'm enjoying it. And I'm looking forward to I guess after this week, the back half, the second half of the season
Yeah.
to see where, everything goes. And
Yeah. I don't know, the other fun thing is little Nina got introduced. And she was Ichabod Crane's wife on Sleepy Hollow. The actress playing her.
oh, yeah.
That's
Yeah.
Katia Winter. So I was like, wow, she looks like completely different with her hair pulled back. So yeah, I mean, seeing the other super teams, I think is really interesting. I feel like they've done a really good job expanding the universe.
Yes. And speaking of, do you remember that they're supposed to be doing a spin-off that takes place in the high school or something along those lines, the superhero high school?
Right.
And oh, there was a nice little Easter egg, or I won't even call it an Easter egg, but when Stu or when why did I call him Stewie? But
Huey.
Huey and Louie, when Huey goes to that orphanage, did you hear the name of the one kid
No.
that teleports? It's like Teddy Stillwell.
Why do I know that?
So That Stillwell from Madeline Stillwell from season one, Elizabeth Shue's
Oh,
character,
yeah.
because there, I think
Oh,
there
yeah,
was
the
an
kid.
instance of,
Yeah.
yeah, so he's because there was an instance where he disappeared on the nanny or something like that and was on the lawn, so that's him.
Interesting.
And
Oh, yeah.
so I thought that was, I missed that actually
Wait, I thought
initially. And
Homelander killed the baby.
no, the baby, I think the baby probably teleported. If the baby could teleport,
Yeah.
I guarantee, because the baby was upstairs when that explosion happened.
That's true. Oh, that's right. He shot the laser beams through Elizabeth Shue's perfect face. Bastard.
Yeah, that was
You son of a
that's
bitch.
Homelander for you.
You son of a bitch. Anyway, yeah, no. I'm actually Lori Holden, that's her name. I'm actually
Lori
enjoying this
Holden.
season. I liked I'm enjoying all of the different flashbacks. I like the guy who was like the moth from the Tick who was flying up and like, oh yeah, I'm just flying around, and he gets exploded by an RPG.
Yes, that was.
That's
I knew that
right.
was happening once he
Oh, as
got
soon
up in
as he
the air.
took off, it's like, oh, he's so dead. I do
Yeah.
like that not all the heroes are invulnerable.
Right.
Right? Like,
Yeah.
I think that makes me happy. So,
Yeah.
all right, we've gone way over. So definitely watch The Boys. We're gonna finish watching episode 4. We'll be back, and we're gonna be back later in the week because we're gonna talk about the latest Daily Wire documentary, and I think next week. No, it won't be enough for next week. But yeah, so we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but we're gonna have a midweek episode as well as the Sunday episode, which you're listening to today, hopefully. Anyway, all right, cool. You got anything else you want to add before we sign off?
I do not accept to say that. Good God, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I'm so happy I'm
That's
not
all I'll
watching
say,
it.
though.
I'm so happy. Like, I still get to enjoy Obi-Wan as I know him and not
Yeah.
the Disneyfied monster that they've created.
I'm glad we're not reviewing that because,
Well, I wasn't gonna watch it.
yeah. Well, no, I was just saying, like, just it doesn't matter. Like, if you would have
Yeah.
said you wanted to watch it, like, that's what I'm saying,
Yeah.
because I don't want to waste my energy on that. That's why I just said, yeah,
I'm done watching Disney ruin my favorite characters. So, all right. On that note, we will see you all next week. Actually, we'll see you in a few days, and then later in a week. Have a great day, evening, weekend, whatever it is, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
see ya.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on Apple Podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcast, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Daryl Jasper and me, Brian Tudor. To find more information about the show, visit us at infamouspodcast.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to keep up with the show. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons and are looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. Music for this podcast is provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.